So I'm an example of somebody who this was kind of something on my heart for most of my life.
This is Father Jeremy Schupbach, recently ordained priest in Saladum at the Church of the Divine Child in Dearborn. He is in his first year of priesthood and
loving every second of it.
Father Jeremy's vocation story is not a typical one. He's one of those rare people who knew from a young age exactly what his vocation was, save one errant period when he was
4 years old, when thinking about the priesthood was like, you know, no way, not at all for me. But I think I was probably about 6 years old, and I can't tell you exactly when it changed, but I know that there were some priests at particularly at the school that I went to, Everest Academy out in Clarkston, and that I just thought that they were the coolest people ever. I wanted to be like them, and it's just gradually I kind of felt like, you know, I want to be a priest. And so I'd say probably by the time I was 6 or 7 years old, I definitely was at least interested in the priesthood, if not pretty confident that I wanted, in fact, to be a priest.
As he grew up, he went on discernment retreats at seminaries. He met with spiritual advisors and vocation directors, and of course, spent countless hours in prayer. And while there were many misconceptions he had about seminary that his time there would unveil, by the time he actually entered, he had about as good of an idea of seminary life as anyone could have before going. But most of us aren't like this. Our aspirations at seven skew a little more worldly. We may avoid discernment, run from our vocation, or God may lead us on a more circuitous route before revealing our vocation. So for those of you who have always wondered what seminary and priestly discernment is really like, for those of you who aren't Father Jeremy Schupbach, this episode is for you. Welcome to Detroit Stories, a podcast on a mission to boldly share the stories of the people and communities in Southeast Michigan. These are the stories that fascinate and inspire us. The love of family is forever. A lasting gift of love is pre-planning your final resting place. Pre-planning your burial site brings comfort to those you love. It ensures that your wishes are met and that no financial burden or unnecessary stress remains for those you leave behind. Give yourself and those you love the gift of peace of mind. Speak with a family service advisor at Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services today. Visit cfcsdetroit.org or call 734-285-2155. Today on Detroit Stories, we interview three men who know just about everything there is to know about priestly discernment. Father Craig Guerra.
And I am the Director of Priestly Vocations for the Archdiocese of Detroit. My role is basically to work with men, both young and old, to figure out whether or not God is calling them to the priesthood.
Father Clint McDonald.
I'm the Director of Undergraduate Seminarians here at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. And so I work under the Vice Rector, Father Charlie Box, to direct the program for the college men for the undergraduate house.
And of course, Father Jeremy Schupbach about his own recent vocation journey. His story continues after high school when he attended the Franciscan University of Steubenville to study philosophy before entering the seminary.
I was not yet sure which direction, and I was discerning especially between the diocesan priesthood and joining the religious order, the Legionaries of Christ, who ran the school that I attended growing up. And so that was something that I was still discerning in college even, but I had been in touch with the vocations director for the Archdiocese of Detroit the whole time and had gone on a couple tours of Sacred Heart Major Seminary and even a discernment weekend there. By the time I got to the end of college, I was confident that I wanted to go the route of the diocesan priesthood. And that was in particular because I guess I just felt like that was the place of the greatest need. I felt like I had seen so many parishes where like a really on-fire priest showed up and just made a huge, huge difference, huge impact. And I guess reflecting upon that, it seemed like that was the place where the most good could be done.
Father Jeremy's entry into seminary started the way it does for all seminarians, with a 3-day retreat at Manresa Retreat House with Archbishop Vigneron. It's like the welcome weekend some colleges have for incoming freshmen.
That happens at the beginning of August, so before the seminary school year even begins. And so the first thing that I showed up for was that. And actually, the very first thing, I knew that I was coming to this retreat with the Archbishop. I had just assumed it was taking place at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Maybe I didn't read the email carefully enough. I didn't realize it was happening at Manresa Retreat House. And so when I first showed up at Sacred Heart, I found out that nobody's here. And so I had to call Father Horn, who was the vocations director at the time, and say, "Hey, where is everyone?" He says, we're not there. We're at somewhere else." So I had to put everything back in my car and drive. And so I had the pleasure of my first entrance into the community of seminarians was me arriving almost 3 hours late to the Archbishop's retreat.
This incredibly temporal moment was just the first of many very normal moments that defied Father Jeremy's expectations for seminary.
So yeah, I remember the first weekend, a number of guys in my class got together and just played some board games together. And it was just such a refreshingly normal thing to do with these guys, and we learned a lot more about each other.
The retreat is an opportunity for the incoming seminarians to get to know each other and the Archbishop, and of course, to pray. It's also a time when the men are struck by the weight of their next steps, this decision many have grappled with for so long, and all sorts of emotions are felt.
Those began to hit me that night on that retreat. We did adoration together every night, so those 3 days with the Archbishop, but I remember kneeling down, and there's a group of people who, you know, I'd begun to meet some of them and get some names, and a couple of them I had some faint acquaintance with before. But just sitting in this group of largely new people, and it just kind of hit me like, this is my life for the next 6 years. And even beyond, that I was really embarking on something that I'd been thinking about my whole life. But now it was really happening, and it was quite overwhelming. I think I probably had my eyes moist a little bit, just realizing that.
From there, Father Jeremy moved into the dormitories of Sacred Heart's Boston Edison Seminary that would be his home for the next 6 years. And then?
One of the first things we do at the seminary, at least at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, is the year always begins with a 5-day silent retreat. And so I actually felt like I learned a lot about my new classmates, and not even my classmates, but the other seminarians during that time of silence. Because even though you're not talking to each other, you just sort of observe each other for 5 days. And oddly enough, I came away from that feeling like I understood these people better. And in some ways, I almost think that maybe there's ways we got to know each other during the time of silence that we wouldn't have without that time of silence.
There were a lot of misconceptions that Father Jeremy had about the seminary, and the truths were quick to reveal themselves. One of those was his perception of what a typical seminarian would be like. And what he found was that there is no typical seminarian.
Probably the number one misconception I had is I was assuming that everyone else was going to be more like me. Like more in the same position that I was in coming in. I quickly found out people were very, very different.
Different in all sorts of ways. From their point of discerning the priesthood.
Everyone is here with a very different story and a very different point in their discernment. Not everyone shows up at seminary because they have this rock solid conviction that God is calling them. There's a lot of people who they think God might be calling them, but they really don't know, and they're coming to seminary with the purpose of, I'm here to actually get clarity on something that I can't seem to get clarity on any other way.
To their ages.
Some people were right out of high school. A couple of people like me were fresh out of college. I'd say the majority of people were probably like 3 or 4 years out from college. And then there was another crowd of people who had, you know, been out in the workforce for 10 years, if not longer, before deciding to enter seminary. And so it was a really, really varied group of people.
They were also, surprise, human.
When you have those moments of realizing that, I'd say probably like bonding over your humanity, because even though, you know, you've made the decision to enter seminary, you still kind of carry this image in your mind of what a seminarian is like, and it's oftentimes a very not human image. And so even just discovering that your classmates are more like you than they are like the image in your mind of a seminarian, those moments are actually very heartwarming, and they really help to forge that camaraderie.
Another misconception is that seminary life will be like some sort of rigorous monastic setting, full of prayer and silence, but bereft of laughter and fun. That it will be, as Father Craig jokes,
a death sentence.
But these priests are quick to assure anyone considering seminary that it couldn't be further from the truth. Father Clint routinely meets with young men who have this perception.
That seminary is monastery, you know, that, you know, all we're going to be doing is it's going to be working and praying, and we're going to be locked in our rooms doing our homework, except for the times where we're released to go pray in the chapel. And that's not the character of life here, certainly. There are definitely moments of, you know, of work and prayer, but there's I think there's a good, guys find that there's a good deal more sort of freedom to pursue their own interests, freedom to get to know one another and do, you know, communal and fraternal activities together, even to play sports, stuff like that. And indeed, we encourage all those things. We want the guys to come together as a fraternity, because that's what they're going to need down the road as priests.
If people are worried that, oh, we're going to be praying all the time, or just going to be silent all the time, I bet those people probably don't dislike prayer and silence. And there is a fair amount of prayer and silence. But behind that is maybe the fear of, well, we won't also be having fun. And that is certainly a misconception, especially the first 2 years in seminary. Because everyone is coming from such a different place, and the seminary faculty know that, they get that, they've been doing this for a while. It's really important that the guys are bonding over just some good, normal fun and getting to know each other and understand each other. And that is actually what they go way out of their way to make sure that there is time and space for.
Father Craig gets this a lot, too, from discerning men. His recommendation for seeing what seminary is actually like?
I think even coming on a discernment weekend, just to spend time with the seminarians, you get to see that they're normal guys and they're just like you and they're trying to figure it out themselves. Seminary, actually, I mean, not only are you learning and being formed to be a better man, but it's a lot of fun, too. I mean, you're with, you know, 90 to 100 other guys who all want the same thing, but all have their own individual personalities, and you make some really great friends and do a lot of fun things together.
There's this other worry he encounters a lot, this fear that
They'll lose their personality, that it's not any fun, that you're just praying all day long. You have to give up the main things in your life that God made you unique with, your specific talents. If anything, I would say that your uniqueness and your talents get highlighted at the seminary rather than be taken away. You know, seminary life is not, you're not locked away, you know, with a key and you have to ask for permission to leave type thing. There's plenty of opportunity to have fraternity with your brothers and go out and have fun, to go see your family, have dinners, and, you know, there's off-campus weekends in which guys could go out to their parish or to their families. I would always, on the first off-campus weekend, always go hunting with my family, so there's plenty of things that that you can do as a seminarian.
I mean, a lot of people might be surprised to learn that there's a bar in the seminary. Like, there's a little room reserved just for going and hanging out and having a beer. And there's, you know, the fridge is there stocked, and you can go and you can pay for a beer. And so, like, a lot of nights were just spent, like, after class was done, and, you know, taking a little time to do your homework, or maybe that was a night that you weren't as diligent on your homework as perhaps you should have been, and you decided to just go and hang out at Oberg's, is what it's called, and just go hang out and have a beer and get to know the guys a little bit better. We really liked board games, so we played a lot of those. I was sort of known around the seminary community for always trying to get guys to play spikeball. There's a gym at the seminary. We a lot of times guys would go and work out together. There was a crew of people that I used to go and work out with. And so there's really a lot of opportunity to bond over just good, normal human activities. Like, everyone knows that everyone's serious about their faith. And so it's not like you need to constantly be trying to make people aware of that. There's just kind of a freedom to relax and be yourself. So we had a lot of fun, and it's not like we had to like break the rules to have fun or something. Like, that was actually what was sort of expected of us in the first 2 years.
The life of seminary for those who are called is not the void that some may see it as, but a rich life full of lifelong friendships and foundational teaching and memories they will carry with them for the rest of their lives. But it's not without its obvious sacrifices. And for many, the desire for marriage and family is the biggest hindrance to taking a leap to discern priesthood in the seminary.
If that desire isn't there and isn't present, then actually that you might not make a good priest either, you know? So it's really not about, the question isn't, are you saddened by the loss of marriage and a family? The question is God filling that void with joy in your relationship with him? And I think that's actually how discernment plays out for a lot of people. In my time at undergraduate, I found this very natural and organic draw to intimacy with the Lord in prayer. And that just continued so much while I was at seminary. And so, praise be to God, it was always very easy for me to see that the Lord is giving me this other thing, this joy, this relationship with him, which is precisely what he wants me not to have marriage and a family for. He wants me to be free to receive this more fully from him. And so I always found that that was there. That doesn't mean that there weren't times when I wasn't sad thinking about getting married and having a family. But they were always very good about telling us this in formation, that when you feel that, don't suppress it. Like, that is something for you to pay attention to, not to try to ignore, but to pay attention to it and go before the Lord and allow the Lord to speak into that, into your heart, which you can't do if you ignore it. There were a lot of holy hours that were spent where I was just allowing myself to experience the sadness of that. But at some point, maybe it was just at the end of the holy hour, or maybe, you know, it was the next day or whenever, I always felt like there was some way that God did speak to that, either by lifting the sadness in a way that only he could, or if it was just a word that was said, like, you know, I'm with you in this, and that he was clearly inviting me to persevere through that with him. And there was always joy on the other side.
As mentioned before, seminary is not the place you wait to go after you have a foolproof conviction that you are going to be a priest, or you're free of any desire for another vocation or another path in life. Seminary is the place you go to be guided through the process of discernment and to get a strong conviction about your vocation.
Yeah, if a guy comes to me and says he's 100% certain that God is calling him to the priesthood, that's a red flag, because no one is 100% certain on anything in life. I'm not even 100% certain on what I want to eat for dinner tonight. So to have that level of understanding at the very beginning would be kind of, you just don't find it. I think a man has to have a desire and a want, And the willingness to be formed by formation. So formation, think of a lump of clay. They're forming you into a man of God. And each year as you go through the seminary, there are benchmarks that the seminary wants you to hit. And if you don't make those benchmarks, well, then there's a conversation about, is this really the best thing for you? Is this really what God is calling you to? So by no means does someone have to have 100% certitude, and it would be odd if someone did.
This is the place to ask the question, am I called? You know, it's can be very, very difficult for a man who feels a call to the priesthood at whatever, to whatever degree, to discern that call out in the world. You know, while he's working a full-time job and he's got, you know, all sorts of other things to worry about, it can be very difficult to hear the Lord's voice in the midst of the noise of the world. Seminary is exactly designed so that we can turn everything off and have, you know, have the time to ask the question and to consider. So the notion that I have to be certain about the priesthood, or everybody here is certain about his call, is false. You know, any sense of the Lord calling, it's not this, you know, massive step to enter into the seminary. It's not this, you know, declaration to the world that I'm 100% sure that I'm going to be a priest. This is a place to ask the question.
For the men who do go to seminary and discern out, they don't see their time as a loss or a waste.
The seminary is there to make you a better man, and you're looking at different ways in which to grow. You're looking at your human aspect, pastoral, intellectual, spiritual life. So you're really growing as a person and as a man, learning how to be a man. So even if you're there for a year, it's beneficial. You gain the credits because it is a college. So if you're going to go to college somewhere else, you're taking those credits with you. You're more secure in your own life and in your own spiritual life. You know now that God's not calling you to the priesthood. So there's not that inkling in the back of your head of, maybe I shouldn't do this or do that because God might be calling me to the priesthood. There's been plenty of times where I've seen guys who have left the seminary so incredibly happy because they know that they're not called to that anymore, and so they can start their life in a different way.
There's a lot of people that leave seminary within the first 2 years because, as I said, there are a lot of people that are coming there because they don't necessarily have their question answered, and they're coming there to get it answered. And sometimes they do get it answered, and it's God telling them that, hey, I'm calling you to marriage. And that's seen as a good thing. Like, you came here to get your question answered, and you got it answered. And so because there are a lot of people who the first 2 years of seminary serve as their way of discerning God's call to marriage for them, I think those first 2 years are intentionally set up not so much as specifically, all right, we're going to do everything to make you guys good priests. It's more like we just want to do everything to make you guys good people.
A man comes into the seminary thinking the Lord might be calling me to the priesthood and decides, you know, after he's done here, realizes the Lord is not calling me to be a priest and leaves. The Lord is not going to let that work that he's done, honestly seeking his will, go to waste. All of that, the growth and formation that happens here, it makes certainly a man, can make a man into a priest and a good priest, but it's the same sorts of things that he needs to be a good husband and a good father. So, you know, there are several of my classmates from the seminary who discerned out and are now married and have wonderful families and are just good Catholic men, and they realize the importance of running their domestic church, you know, the church in the home. But it's all the formation that they got in seminary that helped them to be the husbands and fathers that they are.
So I think if you took a poll of the guys who went to seminary for a year or 2 years and discerned out, I think all of them would say that they're probably really, really grateful for that time, that it seriously helped them to become better people, and that they are going to be better husbands and fathers because of it, and that they would not take any of it back. So I I think if guys are feeling the bug and they have the unresolved question in their mind, saying, I'm going to go to seminary, not because I have my answer, but because I want to get my answer, can be and probably is a very, very good decision.
So how do these priests feel about their vocation? 1, 14, even 16 years into the priesthood?
Well, absolutely, I've made the right. I've no doubt about that. We hear a lot, people probably hear a lot about, like, you know, we have a priest shortage, and priests are getting busier and busier, and there's kind of like more work and less people to do it. And you know, there is a certain busyness and a certain overwhelmingness you can feel sometimes as a priest, but whenever I notice that I feel like, oh my gosh, I've got so much on my plate and so much to do, I almost always remember, like, well, you know what, even if I am a little stressed out, there is nothing I'd rather be stressed out over. Like, I would so much rather be stressed out over the fact that I've got to say Mass and hear confession and write a homily and go and be present to the kids in the school and have a counseling meeting than being stressed out about, you know, some job doing taxes or something, you know? I just know there's nothing else that I'd rather be doing, and I know this is what God made me to do. I feel like I'm confronted with that daily, and that's just beautiful, and I praise God for that.
I love being a priest. I love being a priest. I love the being able to administer the sacraments. I mean, going back to when I was a kid, you know, one of the most important things for me was the Mass, and to be able to offer the sacrifice of the Mass is, there's nothing else like it in the world.
I love being a priest. I get to do so many different wonderful things. Of course, celebrate the sacraments, but one of the more special things as a priest is you get the privilege of being invited into people's lives and into the center of their heart, and they really open up to you, and it's a privileged place to be. It's a very careful place to be as well, because you want to protect that at all costs. But when people come to me for advice or need help, it's a very privileged thing to be there to help them, and I don't take that lightly.
For any listeners out there who have been considering a vocation to the priesthood, these priests have some advice for you.
Pray. It's as simple as that. It's a relationship with God, and to spend time with the Lord is the best way to figure out where God might be calling you. It's like, again, another example. If you go out on your first date with a woman, if you start talking about how many children you have, what kind of house you're going to buy, that just doesn't happen, right? So you need to build that relationship up so that God can call you to the place that he calls you. If you're not ready, it's hard to hear that call. So prayer is the important thing to do. Yeah, it's a relationship like anything else. If a man was going to, you know, date a woman, of course you have to spend time with her and figure out whether or not this is the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And God is a person as well, and so we need to be spending time with God. So if someone has an inkling or a feeling that maybe God is calling them to the priesthood, it's imperative to really start praying more, because without prayer and really growing in our relationship with God, we're never going to really understand what our vocation is. So I really encourage guys to do a number of different things. First and foremost, to stay close to the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and especially confession if they need it. Also to make some time to do Eucharistic adoration, to spend time silently before the Lord.
What advice would I give to somebody? I think I would say, first of all, if you're discerning the priesthood, I mean, the universal advice you sort of have to say, because it's just so incredibly true, is like, pray. You have to pray. You have to be in relationship with God.
I think it can feel like it's this major step that can feel very nerve-wracking, as you said, like this public declaration of, like, what the Lord's been doing inside of me. But if I could go back and, you know, sit down with younger me, who's very nervous about going to tell his pastor that he thinks he might be called to the priesthood. I would have told him, you know, look, you don't need to be. Just go investigate. Go check it out. You're not, signing away your life or anything like that. You're just going to say, hey, I need to investigate this question further. I don't deny it does feel like this huge step, and it can be very nerve-wracking. There can be a lot of anxiety around it. But as I said, if I could go counsel younger me, I would have told them, you don't need to worry about it.
I think sometimes guys are afraid that somehow, in some way, that they're just going to lose out, that somehow that life is going to pass them by, and that has not been the case at all for me and for the people that I know. If anything, my life is more adventurous, my life is more full, everything of myself is magnified by the Lord. So when you give it all to the Lord, you don't lose. He gives you it all back and then some. So don't be afraid if you're thinking somehow that God is going to make your life miserable, because it is not a miserable life. I love being a priest.
Detroit Stories is a production of Detroit Catholic and the Communications Department of the Archdiocese of Detroit. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. The love of family is forever. A lasting gift of love is pre-planning your final resting place. Pre-planning your burial site brings comfort to those you love. It ensures that your wishes are met and that no financial burden or unnecessary stress remains for those you leave behind. Give yourself and those you love the gift of peace of mind. Speak with a family service advisor at Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services today. Visit cfcsdetroit.org or call 734-285-2155.